Hello and welcome to the Upgrade School Marketing Podcast, the podcast for busy school marketers. I am Matt Soule. I'm the Director of Marketing Communication from Chapel Hill Chauncey Hall School.
And I'm Angie Ward. I'm the President of Enroll Media Group, a digital marketing agency for schools.
Hey, Angie, how are you?
I'm doing great, Matt. Yeah, how are you?
I'm good. We're ready to talk some websites. I feel like we're always in website mode, whether it's updating, redesigning, redoing, refreshing. I think websites are always a part of it. And today we're talking about, do they matter? And so just off, before we even begin or talk to Jamie, what do you think? What do you think about websites? Are they important? Do we need them?
I would say, I mean, you have to listen to the whole podcast to know, but spoiler alert, my opinion is yes. I think they're still a school's greatest digital marketing asset. So I'm a believer in websites for sure.
All right. Well, I guess we'll see if what you say holds out. We'll see what Jamie says.
Yeah.
We'll hold you to it after. After we'll come back to see if you were right.
Maybe I'll change my mind after we talk to Jamie.
That's right. Don't change that channel.
He's such a great person to have in your network. Jamie Giblet serves as sales manager, overseeing Digistorm's American operations. Digistorm is a software app and website development company serving the education industry. When he's not in the office, you'll find him on the Colorado ski slopes. He's a passionate leader in helping schools accomplish their goals and elevate their online presence. And I must add, he's just a really, really nice, fun guy to talk to. So let's jump into our conversation with Jamie.
Jamie, thank you so much for joining us today. How are you doing?
Doing really well. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. How are you doing today?
We're doing well. I'm just just wondering what's kind of top of your world right now. Like, what do you have going on?
Well, because ski season's over, I guess I'm back focused on other things outside of snowboarding. But I just spending a lot of time on school websites, speaking with schools about what their websites are doing well and aren't doing well, and putting together new school websites that hit schools' goals. Like, I spend a lot of time in this space. It feels like I'm almost dreaming about school websites. But yeah, that's my world at the moment.
That's awesome. Right. You're talking about snowboarding. You're out west, right? Where are you located?
In Colorado, so I'm pretty lucky. So you might hear my accent. Originally from Australia, didn't see any snow until I was 40 years old.
Yeah,
40. And now that I've discovered snow, I've literally moved to the mountains of Colorado. So I live in Southwest Colorado, right next to two ski resorts.
Nice. What are your go-to? What are your go-to mountains? What do you go to?
Wolf Creek is less than known mountain, but it boasts getting the most snow in Colorado, apart from this year. And another one called Purgatory, which is in a town called Durango here in Southwest Colorado.
Nice. I grew up here in New England and, a lot of New Hampshire, Vermont skiing and doing that. And then I made a trip when I was about 40, to Colorado and saw Breckenridge, and it blew my mind. Absolutely. Nice. Like, couldn't fathom how huge and how great the snow was. And it was, it's beautiful out there.
Funnily enough, I got a friend from the East Coast who is Breck right now and is driving down to visit us this weekend. So there you go. Small world.
Yeah, love it. We had a good winter though this year. We got a lot.
Y'all took all our snow.
You did. Yes. It was a good winter for skiing, although New England skiing is very different than Colorado skiing. So
I hear.
Well, thanks for being here today, Jamie. We're really excited to jump into today's discussion. There's so much going on in the world of AI, and there's clickless content, there's social media channels, there's school review sites. So I'd love for you to tell us a little bit, Jamie, about whether or not websites still even really matter for schools, or do they matter as much as they used to? What do you think?
Yeah, great question. And a question that I hear regularly is everything's moving towards AI, and people are seeing content before they even get to my school website. But what we have to remember is where the content that the AI is delivering for your parents is coming from. Typically, it's coming from what you're doing in social media and what you're telling people on your website. So having a website that has the right information for your families is uber important. But on top of that, once a family gets past that first initial stage of looking at data, like what's the best school in my area or whatever other search term that they're using, once they want to learn more, Your website is going to be the number one tool. That's that tool that's open 24/7 for your prospective families to spend some time on. And we want to make sure that the messaging is right on your website and that experience is right for your family. So that's where that big advantage is with the website is you get to own that experience after parents get past looking at that the AI content or content before they get to your website.
Yeah, ownership is such a great point because while it's noisy and you're on all these other channels, that's like the one place you can truly control that brand, that message, and that content. So we can't lose sight of that. That makes sense.
100%, 100%, and that's a big piece that we work with schools on is what does that experience feel like for prospective families? Because we schools can get lost in the day-to-day of how busy school can be or how busy that admissions office is, but what is that experience like once a family gets to your website? So that's where I spend a lot of my time.
So speaking of, things being busy, people being pulled in a lot of different directions, and there's a lot of new things to be working on and figuring out. So, how does a school, like, if they want to take a dig in and figure out, like, is their website doing what it should be doing? Like, what do you recommend to a school to go and figure that out?
Yeah, great question. So we've actually developed a tool that just can give a school a moment to step back and have a top line view of what that parent experience might be like on their website. But beyond that, you're potentially going to hear it from your current community, from prospective families, from colleagues, from the head of school as well, that maybe your current website isn't reflecting your community exactly as you would like to intend, or you hear from your advancement office that we're not connecting with donors in a way that we should. But all that messaging aside, as I say, we've developed a really quick and easy web assessment tool where if you can take 5 minutes out of your day to cut through some noise of what's happening in your day and really think about what your website is like from a parent experience, but also what it's like from your own experience and having to update the website. That's a really handy tool to at least start that thought process and conversation.
In researching this and doing that, you sent us the link to that, and I filled that out recently, and I appreciated that a lot of the website tools are more, they're more just like data, and it's analyzing. It's more robotic, I guess. I would say that this is more human of a survey and approach to this, and it's not just about the size of your photos or this or this. It's actually like, is it accomplishing the goals you want? Is it, is working within the website editor you have? Are multiple people able to do it? Like, there's a lot of things I think you're thinking through, not just technically what it is, but also what it is like to work on the site. So I appreciate that it's there, and we'll make sure to put a link to the to that survey in there, the assessment in there, so people in the show notes can do that themselves. So,
Love that. And look, the numbers are super important. So those tools that you're talking about and that we'll potentially dive into a little later are super important. But we have to remember an admissions experience for a prospective family is inherently human. And thinking about your website from that perspective and what's the human experience like, not necessarily being completely obsessed with what my bounce rate is or what this number looks like. They're really important measures, but that human measure and you mentioning that is I think it's really important to consider as well. So,
And
nice.
I'll add that the assessment tool only takes 5 minutes. So I definitely encourage schools take the few minutes to do it. I filled it out as well for my own website. And again, yeah, I love that it didn't spit back just a bunch of data and numbers and meta tag things. It was a very human survey based on your relationship with your website and its goals. So I love it. Great tool.
Awesome. And thanks for using it. I appreciate that.
And as I was filling it out, I was wondering, what do other people, what are they seeing on this? What are they filling in? So you get to see all these answers, right? You get to see schools filling this out and talk with them about that. So are there any, trends that you're seeing as people are assessing their own school websites, like trends that you're seeing from them?
Typically when I speak to someone who's used that tool, they haven't realized that their website has lost touch with where they are at today. It might have been a good snapshot of 3 years ago or 5 years ago, but what their school is about today And what their goals are today in the next 3 to 5 years typically aren't represented in a way that in their mind they thought it was before they completed the assessment. The other piece we see is that that parent experience isn't what they thought either. They thought, I've got pages and pages of information with everything parents could ever need to know. But once they put themselves in the shoes of a prospective family, they realize that it's not the experience that they would expect if they were going through a prospective family process or considering donating to a fund at the school. So they're two really big things for parent experience, but also see a lot that schools don't like their content management system. They're either don't have access to it, which in 2026 still blows my mind a little that some schools are having to go to their agency to make an update to their website. But schools that can use the CMS find it clunky, difficult to update. So some front-end trends and then some trends around usability in the back end for people like the people that are listening to this podcast are probably the two main things that we see when someone completes that assessment tool.
Angie actually, I think, opened my eyes to this a while ago, which was, going your school site having just the front information that somebody who knows nothing about your school will be able to see. And I now, when I go through all kinds of different, whether it's school sites, I see a lot of, concert, festival sites, like all these things that you'll go. And it's the first level thing that you want to find out is where are they? And that's one of the things that they just, I again and again still in 2026, I see that it's very hard to find that in some. So I think that's just a very top level one, but I think that is a that comes from going through this from the point of view of someone who knows nothing yet. And what are they trying to ask, and what are they trying, what information are they trying to get? And if you don't have that there and you're making that frustrating from the start, that was in the the article that you guys put out, if that's a bad first step, that's a bad first impression.
Especially if it's they're looking at your website with three, four, five other school websites. If one of those other three or four is nailing it and giving them the information that they need in a very easy and predictable way, that can immediately put you in a position that's not quite as high as another school. And we don't want to make it all about keeping up with the Joneses, but it is important that with a lot of asynchronous research happening with parents doing things on weekends or nights when you don't have a chance to affect a parent's decision on the phone or in person, we need to make sure that that experience is like what you'd expect if you were going online to make a really, really big purchase, because a really big purchase, your child's future, the cost of tuition. Sometimes we lose sight of the fact that this is one of the biggest purchases a family will make, and we want to make sure that experience reflects that commitment that a family's giving to a school.
One of the ways we've found that to be successful is talking with admissions and talking about the interviews that they have with families, or the calls they're getting, or the emails they're getting, and like, are you having to answer the same question over and over again? So, we went through that with them to be like, oh yeah, we have to continually say how many AP classes we have, or what our, history curriculum looks like. And so that was kind of our guidelines to say, okay, our goal now is to knock out those, like, these are the questions they have. They're letting you know these questions by continually asking them. So we can then preempt them by putting that information easy to find. And so families are finding it easier, and now admissions isn't having to answer that same question over and over again. So I think talking with the admissions team about what are you getting, like, question wise over and over again, is a good first step in that too.
Super important. And beyond that, like, you're getting asked that question a lot, but then you're going to have a lot of millennial parents that don't want to ask the question. They're like, well, you don't have the info for me. I guess I'm moving on. So, yeah, there's lots of people asking, but how many people aren't even asking and are taking that next step? So, awesome call out.
The tip of the iceberg, yeah.
And this is such a team project, right? This is admissions, this is marketing, this is an actual human user experience that you guys need to do. So the assessment tool helps to identify some of these gaps. So does the user experience test. But what else? What other tools might you recommend to schools to kind of get started figuring out if their website's accomplishing their goals or not?
Look, this is where we start to get into the more objective or tests where you're looking at, am I passing or not? So we're starting to get into, okay, from the subjective experience of what's the experience like on my website to hard numbers of what is my website performing like and how are people visiting my website or where are they getting lost and leaving my website. So the top one is always going to be Google Analytics. Google is in a position where love them or don't love them, they are the market leader in terms of being able to provide you insight into how people are coming to your website, how they're navigating your website, where they're dropping off on your website. And I think your Google Analytics 4 needs to be top of mind in terms of not only analysis, but on the other side of things, which is promotion of your website. So when we're doing that SEM piece of our SEO and SEM, so search engine marketing, I think Google is going to be your number one tool. Beyond Google, heat map software. And if you don't know what heat map software is, it's literally software that will track where your users are spending the most amount of time on a given page. So it almost acts like a heat map of like lots of people are looking at your What's Happening Now tab on your homepage, because that is a big reason people are landing on your homepage. Or they're not spending as much time as you thought they would learning about how many AP programs we have. And that's why you're getting so many phone calls about your AP programs. Really helpful tools. There's a couple out there, Hotjar, Microsoft Clarity. They're really good tools to use. And honestly, kind of outside of my field of expertise, but funnily enough, expertise of some people that are on the call with me today. But beyond this, Google Lighthouse, basically it's speed of loading of your website on a mobile device or on a desktop. Is it optimized for the experience of your prospective family? So we find 75% of your prospective families, their first couple of visits are going to be coming from a mobile device. So is your page loading quickly? Is it rendering well? Does it have the right accessibility tools? That helps you rank higher as well with Google search engine optimization. And then
Absolutely.
I'll touch on lastly, SEO crawling tools. So things that find broken links, because the last thing you want to do is send families to a 404 not found page. Any other issues with the way a page is being crawled by Google? Really helpful tools. And one that we call out in our article that's got the weirdest, funniest name is Screaming Frog. It's used by a lot of companies around the world to crawl their website and make sure that everything's optimized in terms of the way that your SEO is set up and that you're not sending people to pages that either aren't optimized or no longer exist. But Angie, to be honest, this is more your area of expertise. I'd love to throw it back over to you.
Of course. I mean, I feel like we could have a whole podcast just talking, geeking out about tools, SEMrush, Screaming Frog. Love Crazy Egg is similar to Hotjar in terms of like a great heat mapping tool. I love to see schools using all of those things, but I will echo the Google Analytics for sure. And one report I recommend every school take a look at is their internal site search terms report. Now you have to set it up, but when you have that magnifying glass and people use that search feature on your school's website, Google Analytics will tell you what keywords they're searching for if you set it up as a custom dimension. And that is very eye-opening for some schools. They're like, I didn't realize people were looking for pre-K. We call it preschool. What page shows up when people type in pre-K? Or people are looking for post-grad or tuition, and our page is called affordability. Maybe we should put tuition and affordability in that page title. So that report alone can give some insight into how your website may or may not be working for parents. And then I'll just add on Google Search Console, hands down, one of the best free tools Google has ever built. And Search Console tells you what's happening on your website before people even get there. Like Google Analytics, GA4, that's once they get there. But Search Console is, what are some of your page speed insights that are happening, your core vitals, but also are you even ranking? And if so, for what keywords are people clicking? So definitely love those tools as well.
Love it. And I can attest, I've been to lots of conferences around North America. One of my favorite conference sessions I've ever sat in, and Angie, this is completely unprompted, but it was your session when GA4 was relatively new. I think it was over in Utah. I came and sat in one of your sessions, and the passion you had in that session made me want to learn more about GA4. And I think I even asked you to share your deck, which you happily did. So thank you for that. But
Yes.
Angie really knows her stuff in this space. So.
Oh, thank you, Jamie. That was a great conference. That was fun.
It was. It really was.
Which conference is that? What is that?
ASAP.
ASAP
It
in
was ASAP,
Alaska.
yeah.
Okay,
It was
that's
ASAP.
awesome.
What
Yeah.
school were we at? Do you remember? I was in Salt Lake City there.
Oh gosh.
Yeah, no, I'm having the same issue. I just remember it being so hot that I couldn't think. Like it was like
Yeah.
115, 120 degrees.
It was so hot, and I actually vacationed in Park City after that. And my kids and my husband and I,
Right.
we couldn't even hike. It was so hot, so we drove up every little peak.
Hey,
I cheated my way through Park City, but it was a good time.
you
Thank
were in
you.
Park City. That's a big tick already. Yeah,
Yeah.
nice one.
Roland Hall, was that Roland?
Yes,
Rowan
thank you.
Rowan
Yes.
Hall? Roland
Nailed it.
Hall? I'm doing
That's right.
my research over here.
Look at you, man. Yep, that's exactly
I
right.
was feverishly writing down all the tools that you guys are mentioning, so our show notes are going to be stacked in
Nice.
this episode with Screaming Frog and Search consoles and all of them. So I'll put all the links there. I'll catch up and get all the links there. So there's a ton of tools. I do agree Angie should do a tool, just a nerd out of tools. And I really want Chrome extensions. I think would be a fun one too, to do like what Chrome extensions do people use. I think that would be a fun rundown. So Jamie, for you, if a school is, becoming aware that they need to do something and do something more with their site and get to work on this, there's a ton of options. I think it can get overwhelming to think of all the things you can do with a site. You're heat mapping and you're doing all the things to off the top level. Like if a school's coming to you and saying, like, I need to work on my site, what are the top things, the first things that you make sure that they are getting right?
Yeah, love it. So forget a refresh, forget a redesign, forget going through that whole process of redoing all of your content. First thing you can start on is looking at your most visited pages. So look at your analytics and where are people going? And are those pages up to date, mobile friendly, and aligned with your current goals? Because if they're not, and it's saying, hey, come to our 2023 school fair, that immediately is a thing that you can fix. So start with the most visited pages. That'd be number one. Number two, I think would be making sure that all of your calls to action on your website are up to date. If it's not admission season or you're not running tours, don't have one of your key calls to action being book a tour and take me to a page where we say there's no tours running. So do an audit of your current calls to action on your website and make sure that they're relevant and up to date. So these are things you can literally do in a morning over with your morning coffee. So check your calls to action, check your most visited pages, simplify some of your navigation. So year three or four or five of a website contract with your vendor. You've been relaxed, you've been in the same relationship with a web vendor for 3 to 5 years, and you've just been adding pages to your sitemap and adding pages to your sitemap and adding pages. That now, if you go back and have a look at it with an objective eye and look at your sitemap, is it completely crazy with way too many pages, or is it simple, succinct, and to the point, and has the key information that me as a prospective family needs to find? Because more often than not, when we do a sitemap review of the school, it's gone from, hey, we started with 40 pages and 7 pillar pages, and now we're at 113 pages, and everybody's is created their own page on your website. So making sure the navigation, your sitemap is up to date, and that your menu system is clear and concise. Make sure there's some testimonials from your current families and families that have just joined your school. Nothing works better than social proof. If I'm going to go on my phone and buy something on Amazon, I'm buying the thing that's got the 4.8 stars and 2,000 reviews because that's the social proof. If it's got three reviews and 5 stars, I'm probably going to buy the one that's got 4.5 stars with thousands of reviews. We care about what other people think. So you have great stories at your school. Share them. Share them at those points where people are invested emotionally in the journey with your school and are ready to take a next step. Have a testimonial from a family that's just joined about what their experience has been like joining your school. Super, super powerful. Often something that we start with schools when we're doing a redesign is, how do we tell your school story from the point of view of people who are already at your school, who have been through the process that prospective families are about to go through? And then the last thing in my top five is because of that clickless content, that piece where AI is reading your website, reading your socials to give people a summary before they even click to your website, Make sure that the key information on your website is readable for search engines, for AI engines. So you might have the best PDF document ever that has all of your AP course information, everything that anybody could ever want to see. But if it's not in a format that AI or a search engine can read, that is not making it into the AI summary. So if some of your best work is in a PDF, we want to reassess that overall, but also just make sure it's readable so that that new clickless before someone gets your website content is up to date and has that information parents are looking for. I might have gone on too long there, team, but I get passionate about this stuff. That would be
That was
my
great. No, that was
top
great.
five things that you can do today.
I had a note too, just because it's fresh. I think we were Angie and I were just both at the small boarding school conference, and we had a talk on reviews and that. And when you talked about testimonials, one of the things that we talked about was a lot of schools have a lot of great testimonials sitting on review sites that are just sitting there and not always being used. So it's not even that you have to go out and solicit new testimonials or do a new thing. There might be things sitting there that are amazing that can be used right there off right off the
Brilliant
niche
point.
or right off of wherever, right?
I love that. Use the data that you already have. Exactly that. Review sites, what's being said on socials. I love that idea because, yeah, you're exactly right. Then all you're doing is asking for permission rather than, hey, can we get a testimonial and can we do X, Y, and Z? It's literally like, hey, saw you loved your experience. Can we share this with our community? I love that.
So do you have any schools, we're talking about all these different things that people can be doing. Do you have any examples of schools that, you know, maybe were coming up against the challenge that they were having with their website and, you know, found a way to get over that and to come out of the other side?
My favorite thing to talk about, so thank you for that question. I think almost every school that we work with comes with their own unique challenges that they want to solve. And some of them are, oh, my website doesn't integrate with my source of truth in my database. Can we solve that? Or my website looks old, or it doesn't look good on mobile. Those are things we want to solve, definitely. The stuff that I really love is schools like, and I'll name drop the town school in New York City. They came to us because they were at a crossroads where their story wasn't being told. Trying to differentiate themselves from other schools in New York, as you can probably imagine, was pretty crazy. Not the easiest thing to do. Their website experience didn't have human storytelling on it. And they also had part of their strategic plan was we need to connect more with donors. We need to really engage with that community. So they went from a website that I guess functionally did the job. You could apply and you could inquire, but if you had it stacked up with, you know, three or four other school websites, maybe you're going to be less inclined to doing a design workshop with us. So in a design workshop, we engage with stakeholders. So we speak to newly enrolled families. We speak to your current families. We speak to other people that are your colleagues at the school that might be engaging with your website and ask what that experience was like. What things were good, what things were bad. And then we try to take all of the data that we learn from Google Analytics, from the tools that are out there, plus what your community is telling us, plus what your goals are. And with town schools that differentiate, tell the story, and connect with donors. And that's what we've created. I'd encourage anyone who's on the listening to the podcast, go to the town school's website, check it out. The whole homepage is dedicated to storytelling that tells you why the town school is different from other schools in New York. It tells it through human stories. It tells it through warmth and things that are going to strike a chord with you and your emotions. If you're living in New York or moving to New York and you those things resonate with you, this website's going to resonate with you. And if you're not sending your kids to the school, but you're philanthropic, you get to the bottom of the page and we make it's really easy to take that next step to give or help the school out. And that's one of my favorite stories, just because of where we went from to where the website is today and the feedback that they now get from their community and prospective families. That's one of my favorite stories. So I appreciate you giving me a chance to tell it, and I encourage everyone to check out the town school's website in New York.
All
I'm
right.
on it
Nice
right
work. Nice
now.
work, town school.
Nice.
Yes, it's a beautiful site. That's great. You guys are doing some good work over there, Jamie.
Thank you so much.
Excellent. Oh, so many great tips jam-packed into this podcast, Jamie. It's been such a pleasure to chat with you today. How can our listeners get a hold of you if they'd like to learn more?
Thank you. Hey, it's been fun to hang out. This has been a really nice time. If you want to get a hold of me, there's a couple of ways. You can always get me on LinkedIn. My name pretty well stands out. There's not too many other people. Jamie, Jamie, and then last name Giblet, Gibletti. You'll see me, sales manager for Digistorm, or my email, which is jamie.giblet@digistorm, Digi storm.com. Really easy. Love the chat. About anything website related or admissions marketing related, anything in that space really excites me. And I know that Angie's the expert in that domain, but I get really excited when I speak with Angie and love to talk to schools about how to use their website to really drive a strategy that aligns with their goals, whether it be admissions goals, goals with giving, or it might be randomly, we've had schools that it's about attracting the best talent was in their top three goals. So making sure they got a nice employment area. Happy to talk to you about whatever it is. So yeah, get in touch. Would love that.
Thank you so much, Jamie. So I think we've determined that websites matter in 2026.
Oh
We
yeah.
all in agreement here? All
I think
right.
so, yes.
It's been great,
Okay.
Jamie. Thanks again. We appreciate you.
Thank you. Appreciate you guys.
See you
Bye-bye.
soon. Thank you so much, Jamie, for joining us and talking all these things, websites, and I guess Angie, you were redeemed. You were right in the beginning. We do need
We
websites.
do. I can't believe it. But in addition to needing the website, you need to make it to ensure it works for you in your school. And I love a lot of the tools that he provided to for schools to actually be using on the regular to ensure their website's truly serving their families and helping them reach their goals. Things like not just Google Analytics and Google Search Console, but Screaming Frog and the assessment tool that Digistorm has for schools. Like those are just some of the many tools he mentioned, which are great.
To be honest, I had never heard of Screaming Frog and it sounds made up to me, but I will
Real.
take all of your words on it. I have a whole list of all of the things that were mentioned here, and I can confirm that, history has been made and that we will have the longest resource page, thanks to Jamie, in any episode notes that we've had. So go to the website, check out the episode notes on the side there. We'll have links to every one of the tools that Jamie mentioned in there, and you can scroll and scroll and scroll all of these potentially made up tech company names. Yelling Owl, Angry Mule, Screaming Frog, all of them will be there. Thank you so much to Jamie. You can follow us on LinkedIn, is where we post everything. You can go on the website and subscribe, and we look forward to seeing you next time.